we're in chapter 4 now of Nehemiah. And in chapter 4, things get a little bit rocky. And I like how you shared that, that, you know, we get out there and we say, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you. And then all of a sudden, in chapter 4, here comes the enemies of God. Now, before I get into that, this last week, I got time to spend, and I want to thank y'all so much for being such a loving church to allow me to be off for a little while. And I took that week off last week, and I went out and I helped at New Heart, one of the other ministries that we had, that we give money to in Hempstead. And I was a pastor at a retreat there this week. And as pastor of the retreat, I have to ask God, God, what do you want me to tell these people? We had 10 people coming in with some deep, deep abuse in their past, some trauma that they had to work through. And we had counselors and we have scriptures. But as pastor, I'm supposed to kind of give them some, you know, just some meat to chew on. And here's the word that God gave me on the first day as I walked in before our participants even got there. He said, Blake, I want you to talk about expectations and when expectations aren't met. And I kind of shook it off. I kind of went, well, God, I mean, now aren't we supposed to talk about healing? Aren't we supposed to talk about, you know, they've been through some hard times. Why do you want me to talk about expectations? And he said this, and this is what I felt in my heart. You know, I don't hear God audibly, but the impression that I got was that these people had been through issues where they felt like God wasn't there and God let them down and God didn't meet their expectation, and they had something clinging to them of not trusting God because of the things that they had walked through. So I started doing a little research and I found this incredible quote. It says, when you're going through a hard time, when you're going through a disappointing time, when you're going through one of the desert times, it is not God who lets you down. It is your expectation of God that lets you down. Well, I sat on that for a minute. I was going, oh, well, what, God, how does that work? You know, how does it work that it's our expectation of you that lets us down? And how do we release those expectations? I mean, here in Nehemiah, he's gotten everything he wanted. You know, he prayed and God strengthened him. He made some crazy calculated things and God came through. But now he's at the wall. He's got it half built. And in chapter number 4, it says this. It says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed, and he ridiculed the Jews. Sanballat was one of the other kings from around. This is Nehemiah chapter 4. If you jump down to number 3, it says, Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their walls of stone. Also, you know, here's another king out there that says, man, we can't have this. It says, but when Sanballat, in verse 7, but when Sanballat and Tobiah, and let's add on some more, the Arabs and the Amorites and the people of Ashah heard that repairs to Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble. And all of a sudden, here we go. And it wasn't just them. It said people back in Judah, supposed to be their friends. People that are supposed to be their friends. It says people back in Judah started saying, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Their friends started turning on them. And it says, also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to their work. And then even some Jews that were around at that time. The Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack you. I wonder how Nehemiah handled that. Because if I was Nehemiah, that wouldn't be my expectation of what God's going to do in honor of me giving up my job, in honor of me risking my life to ask the kings for this stuff, in honor of all this thing. The last thing that I think God would do would stir up everybody. have them come to attack me and to kill me. Even my friends, even other Jews, my expectation would be crushed. Let's talk about that just for a second. What happens when your expectations are not fulfilled? I'm going to pull away from God for a second. We'll come back to that. But what about in life in general? What happens when your expectations aren't filled? This last year, I'm on Facebook. And on Facebook, I had been searching sometime in the week for a special birthday gift for Rebecca. And lo and behold, on my Facebook page, suddenly little romantic gifts start jumping up. That's scary, right? One of those little romantic gifts was this little pendant that had a little magnifying glass on the front of it, a little bitty thing. And what you do is you take a picture of your family or something, and they micro-size it, and they put it behind the little magnifying glass on the pendant, and then anytime you want to, you just hold that pendant up, and you look at the picture through it. And guys, in the advertisement, it was so cool. I mean, they would look at that thing, and it was like a giant TV screen appeared in front of their face of this beautiful photograph of their family. I thought of those little things. You remember those little things when you go on vacation? They were little orange, little funnel-looking things you look through. And yeah, you know, those were pretty cool. And so, you know, I'm thinking, man, with today's modern technology, they've shrunk it down to this far, and you can wear it around your neck. And so, yeah, I was going, this is going to be great. Rebecca's going to love this. So I got a picture of our family, and I sent it in, and, you know, and 2 or 3 weeks, here it comes in the mail, this pendant with this little micro picture that anytime she wants to, she can hold it up and look at it. And I got it out, and I held it up and looked at it. And boy, if you get your eye just right, and you're in enough light, you can see this little micro picture that you can't make out anything on. And I just went, but it was supposed to be, and all of a sudden my expectations weren't met. Now, was it what it was? Yeah, I mean, if you hold it just right, you can see the picture. But it didn't meet my expectations. It didn't. Yeah, you know, other things that haven't met my expectation. Anytime I see something that gets, come down and get 3 free hotel days. Have you ever been to those? And then, yeah, you go, oh, this is going to be wonderful. We'll have a vacation. No, an entire 8 to 10 hours is some guy trying to sell me a timeshare, you know. And you just go, okay, you gave me 3 free days. But my expectation was not to be, you know, running for my life. After, how do you get out of this place? And suddenly my expectations fall down. I get what I, you know, but it's expectations. The other one, of course, is fast food advertisement, right? You ever see that new hamburger that's big and juicy? And, you know, like ketchup is gently dripping off into a well of little pool. And then you go and you get it, and it's this flat sandwich, you know, and you just kind of go, you know, yeah, it's a hamburger. It is what it says it is. But I had these expectations coming up in it. Here's what happens when my expectations aren't met. A little string of distrust, a little thread of distrust comes into my mind. Like I still order stuff off Facebook. I'm still going to do it. But I'm going to think, can I really trust this, right? I might still do the 3-day free hotel thing, maybe not. but I'm going to question it, right? Because it didn't meet my expectations the last time. I'm still going to eat at McDonald's. But I'm going to go, I bet it's not like what they showed on TV. Now let's carry this over to God. When our expectations of what we want God to do don't meet up with what God wants to do, suddenly these little threads of distrust start coming out. And I still love God, and I still listen to God, but there's just something that's holding me back from fully loving God and fully trusting God. And it all comes from this idea that God should meet my expectations. Now, why I really brought these two things up here is I wanted to have a size difference of two different containers. This is going to represent my expectations of God. That's going to represent the fullness of what God wants to do in my life. They're different. This one It's got a handle, right? I can carry it around. You know, it's small, and I could just say, God, the stuff I want, what I expect is I expect me to be happy, right? I expect, you know, nothing to go wrong. God, especially if I'm teaching Sunday school or if I'm tithing, if I start going back to church, here are my expectations, God. But what happens when I do that, and all of a sudden, my expectations of God aren't met? I shake it off, right? I don't know why they weren't met, but surely God's good. God's good. And I'm just going to act like my expectations were met. We just won't talk about this. You know, that thread of distrust, that thread of holding back. But this... this is the fullness of God. And it's not easy to pick up. It takes some hard work to get to this. I have to come down to it. I've got to stop and I've got to reach into it. Hey, everything in there isn't all about me. Isn't that crazy? It's not. Some of it's about other people and my effect on other people. Some of them aren't all about the particular time I'm in right now. With this sucker, it's always with me. It's time sensitive. But the fullness of God says, I know what's coming next. I know what you need next. And it may not line up with what you're going through right now, but if you'll trust me, if you'll trust the fullness of who I am instead of the expectations that you have, that's the difference, right? Psalms 23. We like the first part of it. God makes me lay down in green pastures. Oh, I love me some green pastures, God. And then it says that he's going to leave me by still wet rivers. Anybody want some still rivers? I like some still rivers. That all fits in my expectation cup. It's right there. But then all of a sudden that passage says some weird things. It says, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. And you kind of, I said, whoa, God, why are you taking me through the valley of the shadow of death? That doesn't fit in my expectation cup. I don't, take me the other direction, right? That fits a lot better. If I could just go the other direction, God, I will know you are God. And God says, no. You've got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And it says this, I'm not going to give you a weapon. I'm not going to give you a shield. I'm not going to point out where the people are that are trying to hurt you on the valley of the shadow of death. Here's what I'm going to promise you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. All of me. The fullness of what I have for you. I'm going to be with you. You can't carry that in the expectation cup. It takes coming over here. And then the next part of it's even stranger. It says that I will prepare a table for you. Now that fits in here. I love the thought that God's going to prepare a table for me. It's about me. But then he says this weird thing. He said, in the presence of your enemies. God, what I'd rather you smoke the enemies. In fact, let's have dinner up in a restaurant where there is a window where I can look down and watch you smoke the enemies. That's my expectation, God. If I am with you and you're with me, all my enemies are knocked out. There's no enemies left. But God says, no. He said, I've got a table of resources. A table of nourishment, a table of my fullness of what I want for you. But to come to this, you have to put down the expectations that I'm going to take care of all the enemies. They're going to be gathered all around you. And in the middle of your enemies, I'm going to feed you. And you're going to learn what it means to just trust in me at that point. Because they're all still here. But more than them all still being here is I'm here. And I'm substantial. And I understand things that you don't understand. And I know why those enemies are there. And I know what I want to build in you. I know how I want to make you more Christ-like in this. The question is, what kind of Christian do we want to be? Do we want to be a Christian walking around with our expectation cup? If I do this, this is what I expect God to do. Or are we willing to take the hard thing of saying, God, I don't expect anything except that you're going to be with me. And I'm going to pull as close to you as I possibly can. Then, instead of having threads of doubt pulling me backwards because my expectations weren't met, I'm going to have threads of hope pulling me forward. That's a big difference. What did Nehemiah do? When Nehemiah could have said, "Why, God? Why have you let the enemies come? Why have you let these people turn against me? Why are these people back in Judah?" What did he do? Did he go, "Man, God, I thought I could trust you, God. I'm just going back to where I am"? Because that's a lot of times what we do, right? As soon as God doesn't meet our expectations, we stop going to church. As soon as God stops meeting our expectations, we stop that prayer time that we said we were going to do all year long, right? As soon as God stops meeting our expectations, we go, "I can't tell anybody about this, but I just don't trust God." Here's what Nehemiah did. Verse number 4, he prays, "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown the insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half height, for the people worked with all their hearts." The first thing he did, and boy, this is a kind of a recurring thought, he just prayed. He said, "God, I'm in a situation that I wasn't expecting. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to hit my knees. And I'm going to pray." Imagine that. That's that, "I'm going to come to the table," right? "I'm going to come to that table that you prepared for me, and we're going to sit for a while. I don't get what's happening. I don't get why they're still there, but I'm going to sit for a while." The next thing he did, if we look down into verse number 13, he said, 14, he says, "After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families and your daughters and your wives and your home.'" The next thing he did, he had to spend some time over here, right? He had to pray for a while. He had to make sure that he was straight. And then what he did is he came back and he proclaimed truth, right? Not expectations, not "God's let us down and these enemies are coming." He said, "Listen, we serve a great an awesome God, and I don't care what the circumstances are, that doesn't change. We serve a great and awesome God, but people are attacking us. I don't care. We serve a great and awesome God. People are leaving our church. I don't care. We serve a great and awesome God. I'm sick right now. I don't care. We serve a great and awesome God. You got financial troubles? I'm sorry. But that doesn't change the fact that you serve a great and awesome God. Do you have relationship troubles? Listen, God is crying and hurting with you right now. And he's saying, come and dip into my resources because I am a great and awesome God." He prayed and then he pronounced truth over it. Pronounced truth. Like, I've done that before. And it doesn't change anything. Well, it does. But then the simple phrase, repeat. I said it. God, things are still hard. My expectation, right, is if I say those words, "You're great and awesome, everything's going to change." Nope. Put down the expectation cup. Come back over to God and go, God, I said it. Can you give me a little bit more? Can you give me a little bit more? And then you come back and you proclaim truth again. And you just keep doing that. Keep doing that. Can I tell you what an incredible, godly man or woman you will be if you keep going back and keep going back? Can I tell you what a change it'll make in your life? And then, watch this, he said, and remember to fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your home. Someone doing that, it's going to spread out, right? Those threads of hope are going to propel you into the future. I guess the question today, which one do you want? Do you want your expectations met? Or do you want the fullness of God in your life? Because you can't have both. Sometimes they'll match up. Isn't that nice when they match up? Sometimes they do. But so many times they don't. And at that point, you've got to make that choice. It's empty. But I serve a great and awesome God. And I'm going to come back to Him again and again and again. I was reading in conclusion where Paul says, forgetting what is behind and pressing on to what's ahead. And I've always had trouble, Roy. I've always had trouble with that verse. How do you forget? How do you forget what's behind? How do you forget when God's let you down? How do you forget when you've had real pain and real trauma? How do you forget so that you can press on? So I dove into that word this week. And here's the beauty of that word. It's the only time that particular word for forget's used in the entire Bible. Only time. And this is, if you dig into it, I mean, now it'll just say forget when you look, but if you dig into it a little while, here's what it is. It is stopping the continuing and building consequences for a past event. Stopping the continuing and building consequences of a past event. Imagine that thread attached to my disappointment. Now imagine a million of those disappointments and Satan just pulling on those threads, those past events having a continuing and building consequence of me not being able to move forward. And here's what forgetting is. It's not saying it didn't happen. It's not saying that you weren't hurt, but it's saying I am going to cut off those threads of distrust so that I can get to the table and let God heal me. Forgetting what's behind. Cutting that off. Saying, it's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. He said, now I can move on and press forward. And press forward. Here's how we're going to conclude today. Tony, can you do me a favor? Just by the Welcome Center right there, there's a smaller little place that has a computer on it, and there's some cards that say expectations on it. Here's your invitation. We're going to pass those cards out. And while Chris plays, instead of standing up, instead of thinking about lunch, I want to ask you, in the last week, has some of your expectations not been met? In the last month, has there been something where you go, God, I just don't understand? Tony, you can start passing that out one day, everybody. Can somebody help her? Al, could you help her pass those out? Or Robert, yeah. On that, maybe in the last year, maybe there's something where you just said, God's let me down, but I'm just not gonna deal with it. Maybe it's been years. Would you be willing to own that sheet of paper right now? Write that expectation where God lets you down. And then whenever God leads you, close it up and come down here and just say, God, it's not about my expectation. I want the fullness of what you are. And release, cut that tie that's binding you to that. That's going to be our time. I'm going to be down here if you need me to pray for you. Listen, if you've been praying about joining our church and today's the day, hey, don't let this stop you. I'll be right over there. Come and talk to me. If you want to know more about asking Jesus Christ in your heart, I'll be there too. But for everybody, if you're willing to do this, to say, I'm going to write down something where I've been disappointed with God, And I'm going to say, God, that's not what it's about. It's about you. And come put it in the trash can during this time of invitation.